Welcome back to the Build Shop Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Brath. I've got my other co-host over here. Mike, say hello to the people.
How's it going?
And we are very excited to have someone I'm well acquainted with. Mike, you as well. I know we've both built some clubs with this guy, hung out with this guy, played some golf with this guy. And that is Mr. Johnny Wonder from Callaway Golf, also from the World of Wonder, which we'll get into in a minute. Johnny, welcome to the Build Shop.
Wow, what an honor, I gotta say. And I don't say that lightly. What an honor to the people I adore most in the world on the podcast. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you. You are technically our second guest ever. Rebecca Lee Bentham was our very first after playing in the Women's US Open. And you know, speaking of US Open, USGA events, there's a big reason we want to have you on today, and that is to talk about new Callaway staffer John Rahm's win at the US Open held at Torrey Pines. What's that feel like, Johnny, being a member of Team Callaway?
Well, I tell you what, it's been, I guess it's 3 weeks, almost a month. So Phil won the PGA, which was completely unexpected. And then Rombo goes and wins the US Open in the way that he does. So, I mean, I'll say this from a career path standpoint, I feel like I jumped on the right train at the right time. whenever a player wins a major and you're the club company that represents them, it's a big deal because it represents it's a big deal for not just the clubs, but the ball and everything else that goes along with it. The putter, I mean, Callaway's got, you know, we sell balls. We have a big putter company in Odyssey, and then we're a big golf club company. So it's a big deal. So yeah, it's like, drinking out of a fire hose, more or less. I guess it's the easiest way to explain it.
In a way, it's almost, I know, Mike, you're a big fan of F1. The analogy is almost like a big team effort, isn't it? Like the player is the driver of the car, but there's a lot of people behind the scenes that work to get that thing running on the weekend. Right.
I guess the thing that I find the most fascinating, cause I already knew a lot about the process of getting players into clubs. And, you know, I did that for WRX for a while. And the thing that you realize is it's not just the tour truck guys that, you know, get a player dialed in, especially a guy like Rahm. It's the R&D department. It's the, you know, we have a guy that named Dean Teckel that goes out and prototypes everything. So, you know, he was out 6 months ago testing these Rahm 3 and 5 woods prototyping them before they even really offered them up to Rahm. You know, they had ideas and they get them all cooked. It's not like they just show up with, okay, Rahm, this is what you're going to play. It's going back into his old specs, looking at what he was successful with in the past, how he delivers at his TrackMan numbers, and they start to prototype things based on what they think he might need. And it's two or three different versions of that, right? So it's a huge process to get a guy, we'll say a top 5 player in the world, fully cooked into 14 clubs and a golf ball. I mean, especially as quickly as they did it, I think they basically completed the bag in 3 months. Say October, November, December, they got him into all 14 clubs and a golf ball. That's insane. You know, if you know the process well, that's it's insane for them to do it that fast and have the player be successful. This is the first win he's had so far this year. But if you look at his stats, I mean, I think he's had 12 top 10s and 16 tournaments or 17 tournaments or something ridiculous. I mean, the guy is just playing his nuts off.
Watching it on Sunday, I was like, okay, he's one player of the year for sure. He'll get that. Mm-hmm. The Open's going to be very, very attainable. Mm-hmm. Playoffs, no brainer. Ryder Cup, no brainer. I mean, he's going to have one hell of a year. It's cool to see. I mean, you were on Brian's pod earlier last week, and you called it. You're like, John Rahm's winning the US Open. And I know a lot of people have said that. I didn't pick John Rahm to win. I picked Phil.
Good for you.
to pick him and for him to pull it off. I think we all knew he was trending in the right direction, but with the whole stuff at Memorial and now US Open, it's such a great win. Don't get me wrong, I would have loved to seen Louis do it, but John Rahm, sure. It's tour. Really, really cool.
I'll give you an idea of So I saw him at Memorial, right? So, you know, I walked with him and Adam in a practice round Tuesday or Wednesday at Memorial. I think it was the Pro-Am. Is it Pro-Am day? I forget. But even then you could tell like it was coming, and it wasn't necessarily, he always strikes it well. He always drives it well. I mean, he's one of those guys in the range that everybody stops and watches when he's hitting balls. But they found a putter for him that really, really worked. And it was more on the greens, because usually on the greens, there was always kind of like this, I don't want to say uncomfortability, but you could tell he was kind of searching for a feeling. And then Joe Toulon kind of, they kind of stumbled upon this putter that he's in now. And you could tell on the putting green, it was more game prep as opposed to, does this putter work? It was more like hitting 10 footers with some conviction and, you know, hitting a bunch of 4 footers. He wasn't searching for anything. It was just like, this is the putter, and everything kind of clicked into place. And we all know what he did at Memorial. I mean, truth be told, if he would have played 4 rounds, he would have won by 9.
Yeah.
And statistically, and I said this to Brian LaRoche, there's a statistician that I'm friendly with on tour. When John Rahm's like this, and he sort of started his own trend at Memorial, but when he's striking the ball like this, it tends to last for like 6 to 8 tournaments. Like it gets really, you know, good, really good. Then it starts to taper off, but his good zones last for a long time. Cause he doesn't really have any deficiency in his bag. He's obviously a great driver of the golf ball. He's a good putter. He's a really good putter now, but I mean, he's always in the top 75 in putting, which the difference between 75 and 1 is not that much of a difference. And he's got a wicked short game. So, and he never loses his iron play. He's never not a good driver of the golf ball, and his short game's always good. It's live or die with the putter. And now he's got a putter that he's got confidence with. And I mean, I think he's going to win. He could win the British Open. I think he's probably going to win like a Fed, you know, a WGC event, maybe a couple of FedEx events and call it a day. I mean, and this is going to last. I mean, he's roll out of bed, top 5 player in the world for the next at least 9-10 years until his mid 30s. I don't see this going away.
I'd put money on him for Tour Championship for sure.
Mm-hmm.
No brainer.
I think the one thing that really stands out for John is the fact of, like, if you look at his golf swing compared to a lot of other players, and this is maybe a poor comparison, but I think it's a good one. And that is, it's kind of like Phil's. Phil's is flexible and it feels long and loose. I mean, he's obviously very different body types, different styles in general with a lot of speed, but they're not creating the speed by like completely cranking up. When you think of someone like Jason Day, for example, right? Like there isn't this, like it's fast, but it's not, it doesn't feel violent. And I think to your point, Johnny, it does kind of bleed into the idea of longevity for someone like him versus other players who kind of get there and then fall off. It's really stuck around. And I mean, DJ kind of has that as well. Mm-hmm. Just kind of turns and turns and, you know, hits a good shot. So,
yeah. Well, sorry to interrupt you. I mean, but they swing like they normally swing. So it's like, there's a few players out there, like Rory, for example, right now is not swinging how Rory traditionally has swung it for the last 20 years, right? He used to be actually pretty laid off and it was really shallow and, you know, he could hit this big high draw and he could hit it on command. That's kind of his roll out of bed swing. There's no manufacturing to anything that John Rahm does. The way he putts is his own. The way he chips is the same way he's been chipping since he's 12. And the way he swings is basically the same way he swung a golf club till he got strong enough to swing it the way he's swinging it right now. So what you have, and I can even say the same thing for Matt Wolf, that's all they know. So to try and, you know, spin them out of that with a new idea, all they know is to hit it that way. And that's a huge advantage on tour, especially if that's how you swing and you cut the ball. So he's not hitting it the way he does with like a draw. He's naturally a hard cutter of the ball. So like he's already got the shot. He doesn't have to go to a teacher and ask how to hit it. He's got it already. So he's got a huge advantage because of how simple his golf swing is and how he hits it, the shot shape he chooses. I mean, you saw that drive he hit on 18, that just little bullet cut he hit out there. Like that's John Rahm rolling out of bed at 180 ball speed, just starting to the left and peeling off 15 yards to the right. I watched the guy hit balls for hours. and you see him on the driving range, and all he hits is these little 15-yard cuts, just, but you know, with a foresight right in front of him at 180, 185 ball speed, and they look like the coolest thing you've ever seen in your life.
I do the same thing, minus it's not at one, it's definitely not at 180 ball speed.
More like 135 ball speed for myself. Yeah.
So now you mentioned another player who I think is really interesting. We can get into, we'll talk about the whole US Open now, is Matt Wolf. And it's funny you say, like, because again, we haven't seen him play in a couple months, mm-hmm. and seeing him chip around the greens, I actually forgot that he kind of does his, like, his path. He does it when he's chipping too. And they showed him doing a couple chips, and I was like, oh man, that, like, it looks jarring, but just cause I haven't seen it in a while. Cause like he was, especially the first couple of days he was on, and it was also really good to see him back. I think he is one of those players where when he's on TV, you want to watch him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and he's got a phenomenal short game, which, you know, is actually didn't look super awesome yesterday, but you know, the first three rounds, Matt Wolf chipped and putted as well as anybody did. And he obviously drives it. I mean, he's a half a tick shy of Bryson DeChambeau and Wilco and all those guys. I mean, he's like mid to high 180s ball speed guy. Like, he pounds it, and he's not a big guy. I've stood right next to him at the Open, and he's not, I mean, he's probably a half inch taller than I am. He's not a very tall guy, but the amount of speed that he generates because of how he swings it, he's impressive. Matt Wolf to me is, like, especially live, is really impressive to watch. So I'm happy he got his head, you know, I don't want to say cured, but he's starting to feel better about what's going on. And, you know, I hope he plays well, cause I think he's fantastic.
Yeah. I haven't had the chance to see him in person. I know we were lucky a couple of years ago, actually, Colin Morikawa's first professional debut at the Canadian Open. We got to go see him play, and that was pretty cool to watch that guy strike balls. Just kind of knew him coming out was something pretty cool.
Yeah, you don't, I got to say, like, Colin Morikawa hits the ball properly, but from a distance perspective, I didn't realize how, I don't want to say short, but how much longer, like, DJ and some of these other guys than Colin Morikawa. I mean, we're talking 20 yards, you know, I'd say on average. I mean, if Colin Morikawa carries at 285, these guys are carrying at 305, 310. It's a huge difference.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize it was that much, but it is.
Now, we'll start with you, Mike, because, you know, this was a major week. Have you ever been to a major championship before?
Yeah, I've been to
the Masters.
I've been to the Masters 2019, Saturday, Sunday, best 2 days of my life. And I always say I could marry a billionaire supermodel, and Saturday, Sunday, 2019 at the Masters will be the best day of my life.
Yeah,
hands down. And then I was at the Open Championship in 2016, when another Cali staffer, Henrik Stenson, won the Open.
Oh, that was a good one. We beat Phil. Yeah. They both shot like 55 in the final round to win or something
good.
Stupid.
Sitting on 18 grandstands, champion golfer of the year. So good. Best, one of the best majors. It was really good.
They separate like that tournament too. Like they were, I can't remember what the number was, but they were shots and shots ahead of third place. Like, it was insane.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so good. Ridiculous. Well,
that became a ball striking clinic for both of those guys. I don't think Phil's ever hit it better in his life. When you know, those last 2 days of the Open, and then obviously Stenson put on just a clinic.
I mean, to watch him hit golf balls would be in person would be unreal. I think Stenson's got. I'm a Stenson fan, probably because I was there. But ever since then, I just think his ball striking is unbelievable.
Can I say something though out loud? On the range is not the same Stenson as you see on course.
Really?
So on the range, it's like, it's cool because it's Stenson, but he smooths it on the range. It's when he gets out on course, and I think is, you know, he gets his back up a little bit, is when he starts hitting it like Henrik Stenson. Cause I've seen him on the range hit balls, you know, it's fine. It's like, whatever. And then I've also seen him on like a long par four when he's got, you know, he hit the three wood and then he'll go hit an iron in. And it's that Stenson sound. It's that big, heavy, you know, oh my God. And the other thing I will say about Stenson is he hits a lot of three woods. He actually drives the ball really, really well. I don't to this day understand why he doesn't hit more drivers. I think it's like a mental thing, because every single, I've probably seen him hit about seven or eight drivers off of really, really tough tee shots. And he's just hit the most gorgeous little bullet fades you've ever seen in your life. And I just don't understand why the guy's in a driver more. I don't get it.
It's insane.
I don't have the balls to ask him though.
So rolling into major championships, what was your experience like just attending the US Open as a fan, Johnny? I know you got to go. You went with your dad.
Yeah. So I worked. So the week, I guess the US Open week for me started in, started Saturday. So Saturday we were at our testing center. I was there all day. So we had a bunch of players come in, and then Dylan Fratelli came in the afternoon. So I stayed with him. And he hit balls and we screwed around for a couple hours. And then the next day after that, a lot of guys came in. So the day after that, we had Akshay Bhatia, Matt Wallace, Thomas Dietrich, somebody else, Dylan Meyer was in there. Marcus Armitage came in. I'm missing one guy. Did I say Akshay Bhatia? Akshay Bhatia came in. Yeah. So it was those guys all day long. So that was just prep, like getting them ready for the US Open. And we were trying to do, you know, some of like Akshay Bhatia is a big content guy. So he just wanted to video everything. So like, but then, you know, Monday the tournament starts and Torrey Pines is the way it's set up of where our truck was at the other end of the driving range. So, you know, my job this week was kind of chase down more or less three or four different guys. Like it's chasing down Xander, Phil and Rom. And, you know, just trying to get video and them on course and take a bunch of pictures and stuff, because you can't really do video at Torrey on a USGA event. There's content rules. But it was great because, you know, all those days I had those guys to myself. You know, when I went out and saw Rom, it was just me, his agent, Jeff Koski, his caddy, Adam Hayes, and myself. And we walked for like 9 holes. It's just me and the number one player in the world, you know, just inside the ropes, hitting shots. And, you know, if like there was, I think it was on hole number 2, he just vaporizes through his 5-wood. And he hits this 5-wood and it just goes down there like 2-6. And he goes, you know, he kind of looked at me and goes, God, I love this 5-wood. So then I go, I'm like, God, I should have got that on slow-mo. He's like, no, I'll give you another one. Let me hit driver. We'll get it on slow-mo. So he pulls out a driver and just vaporizes a driver way down there in slow-mo. So it was like that all day. It was like, did you get that one? He wanted slow-mo. I'll hit another one. It was kind of like that. It was just like, it was awesome. And now to know that he won, I felt like I had that special time. You know, I don't know John Rahm very well. I know him well enough to say hi to him, but like I had that 9 holes with this guy. It was pretty awesome. I mean, it was amazing.
Crazy.
Yeah. That was probably, besides my dad coming to the tournament, that was my highlight of the week. But after that, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I was with my old man at the tournament the whole time. The first day was a little bit of a shit show because they hadn't figured out the food lines yet. So the food lines were like 1.5 to 2 hours. That's the only thing that went wrong. But the tournament, the course is beautiful, and you know, to share it with my dad was amazing. It's the first major we've ever been to together, so
that's cool.
It was pretty awesome.
So what's your take on Torrey being US Open hosting course? I know there's someone on the pod that doesn't like it that much.
Well, I'll say this, it definitely identified the best players. Yeah. So I look at US Open courses. It's straightforward. It's not, I mean, I get it. I get that it's not super interesting, but it was interesting at the back nine yesterday was plenty interesting. And yeah. I can think of a bunch of golf courses like Wingfoot, for example, ain't that interesting. It's Wingfoot. You know what I mean? But if you look at it from a 35,000 foot view, Wingfoot's interesting in parts, but ultimately it's just a tight golf course with really goofy greens. And if you hit it in the rough, you're screwed. Like that's kind of the gist of that golf course. But I thought Torrey held up well. I think they set it up correctly, and I think they could have set it up a little tougher, but I'm happy they didn't. Cause I think it would have been kind of a disaster. Cause to me, if the USGA makes any adjustments to that course to make it tougher, the score is not like -2. The scores go to like +4. There was like where they had it and then like below the line. And that was it. Otherwise they were going to have to kill all the grass. So.
See, my thing is always the fact that when it comes to the, you know, as Mike alluded to, right. I mean, and you said it yourself, like the golf course itself has a lot of par fours that ask the same question over and over again. Mm-hmm. And it's, and to that point, like, you're still going to get, you're still gonna have someone identified as the best player. It's like Bellerive. Bellerive was another example. And this is, and I've heard other people talk about this. Bellerive was not necessarily an exciting golf course, but it produced an exciting finish. right? Like, I believe it was Bellerive, and I think it was on the 17th hole. I still remember this shot, and it was Brooks Koepka lasered that four iron from 240 something yards to that par three to like whatever.
Right.
By the time the legend's done, it's going to be to 6 inches, but it was inside 8 feet. And that, what that golf course asked of those players that week, and it was wet and it was humid. I think it was, what's that, St. Louis, right?
Yeah.
You still identify the great players, but from a viewership or like from an excitement point of view from the golf course, like if you're a nerd and you're into that kind of stuff, it's kind of like, eh, all these par fours are really boring. What I did really like, and it was, I believe it's, is it the par three, the second or the third hole?
Third hole
on Saturday, they moved it way up.
Yeah.
How cool. Like that played so different. Really fun.
It played from like a hard five iron to like a pitching wedge.
Yeah.
On Saturday.
You,
yeah.
And you saw players like Rom, I think hit a wedge or a nine iron. You saw Bubba sling this like big whooping fade into this hole. And you're like, this like little thing that they did really kind of piqued your interest really quickly. Right. Because now you're having players hit much more aggressive shots into a pin that's still very tight onto a green that's still very firm. But because they've changed that club up, right, you've kind of got this opportunity for birdie. But if you miss it, you put it in the bunker, you put it long, you know, that's where the big numbers come in. So it was, to me, it was like, again, I still think it was an Academy Award winning performance in an okay movie.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a couple of things they could have done. I wish they would have moved. I mean, arguably they could have moved the tee up on two, which is a little bit too early in the story to do it, but they could have moved the tee up on two to make that whole play like 322 or 320 and entice guys to try and hit the green. Because the hole, you know, goes down, then it goes back up. So you'd have to carry it all the way. And I guess the cost is if you don't stop it around the green, it's going to bounce over into the hazard. Right. So like that would have been a goofy hole. But it would have enticed some people to try and chase driver up there and roll it up and see if they can't get lucky. And then on the backside gets a little boring, but I must say 16, 17, 18 are pretty good closing holes. Like you have a really, 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 really hard long par three, which Rom hit probably the prettiest four iron I've ever seen in my life into 16. 17 does ask a lot of you on the tee shot. Like the whole thing begs you to hit it in the hazard. I mean, the tee box sets you up right alongside.
17 is a great hole. 17 is a good hole.
And 18's a good hole. I wish they would have moved it back a little bit. They played the tee up. I wish they would have moved it back about 20 yards. And the reason being is I think what we would have, and they always move the pin up to the front right for whatever reason. I was kind of hoping they would have made the pin back left to entice some guys to try to sling it in there. And I think you would have had a little bit more drama if they would have moved the pin in the back. But yeah, I mean, I like Torrey Pines. I don't love it, but I think it's a solid US Open golf course for sure.
Yeah. I think 18, my favorite pin on that is, I know they gave it obviously the tiger pin, right? Right on 18, and Rom curled in that one from the top there, that big loopy one. That was awesome. But then there's they usually do it at the Farmers, which I can understand why they wouldn't want to do it for this week because it's the same thing, but they stick it in that front left corner.
Yeah, right in front of the water.
And right in front of the water, and guys either like spin back wedges. And I know maybe he's not the most famous person who's won the tournament, but I still think of like the reason I like that hole is thinking when John Daly
out of the bunker in the
blasted back. It into the back of the bunker. And rolled it down there. I remember watching that because I don't think I'd ever actually seen him win a tournament before. And to see him hit that shot and have it trickle down there with like the, you know, the big Dunlop bag and all that stuff and that big vest he was wearing with the blonde hair. And it was like, I can't believe he did that. Like it was an unbelievable shot. And I kind of thought like that to me is like another cool pin. And if you get it US Open firm, when guys hit some of those wedges in, especially if they shave that front bank, you know, if you have to lay up out of the rough, especially as you said, you make the hole a little longer. You got guys like, I mean, I remember Charles Howell hit one off the pin I think it was against Tiger, and he put one in the water after that. Like, you can't hit a better shot by hitting it off the flagstick. And then, you know, unfortunately it ends up in the water, but it's just one of those things. So,
yeah, if they would have moved the pin up to where you're talking about for this tournament, players would have raised hell, because the problem is if you would have hit it past anything past that flag with as fast as those greens were, if you would have hit it you say hit it on the, you know, long side and you're putting back to the flag. If you get it 3-4 feet past that flag, the ball would have just rolled off the green.
Yeah.
So you would have had people looking to looking for,
it took it too far.
Yeah. Taken too far. Yeah. So,
now you mentioned Rahm's five wood, Johnny. Mm-hmm. And I know, as someone who is wearing a big Cali hat at the moment, I think you've got one in your bag. Is that correct?
I do.
What else is in your bag right now? Because I know we follow you. Like, give, come on, plug the Instagram. Come on, you can do it.
At Johnny underscore Wonder. Yeah, I mean, it's the equipment thing has actually been, it's actually way easier. I will say this, it's way easier working for a club company than it was doing the WRX thing, because the WRX thing was amazing, but like you never get settled into the new stuff. So like right now, for example, if I'd still be at WRX, I'd probably have, you know, whatever TaylorMade irons I'm hitting at the time and my Sim, whatever, my Callaway three wood or whatever. And then all of a sudden I just see the Titleist iron. So at some point in that function, I would have gotten the Titleist iron. You know, I'd be going to Carlsbad for a Titleist fitting, you know, in the next couple of months to get the new Titleist irons. Like, and that's just how it works. You never really get settled into anything, which are total white girl problems, but it's like, you know what I mean? But it's like, it's an awesome problem to have. But in my bag, and one of the nice things also about this job is the ability to try stuff on the fly. So, you know, I got a triple diamond. I got an 8.5 triple diamond driver, and I got that Mitsubishi 1K shaft, which is an awesome shaft, by the way. The 60TX, it's a really, really awesome shaft. And then I have the triple diamond, which my three wood's actually pretty tour sauce, I got to say. It's the triple diamond adjustable three wood, because they don't make adjustable heads like at retail. They're, you know, they're the bonded hosel. And I have a Tensei 1K in that, like a 70XTX or something in there. And then I have the Rombo three wood, which is also super tour sauce with a, I got the, is it Kylie?
The MC five wood?
Five wood, yeah.
There five, you go. Okay, okay.
Kylie 80TX. It's that new Mitsubishi shaft that's supposed to kind of be like the whiteboard. And the cool thing I will, like, I have to add here is the Callaway woods, especially, I'm hitting them very, very well. Like, I'm hitting them out of the nuts a lot. I'm hitting a lot of good shots. And I think a lot of it has to do is I've kind of had them all year since I started, and I've had like this set for like almost 90 days now. And I'm hitting a lot more balls, and like, I love my clubs right now. And then I went through sort of an iron experiment, and I don't know if I'll ever spin my way out of it, but I was hitting the, like a combo set of like TCBs and MBs or whatever. It was a pretty cool set. But what I noticed is that my iron play just wasn't that great. Like, my short iron play was really good, but like 4 to 7 iron was kind of sketchy. So part of my function is to hit as many as, you know, I try to get familiar with everything. So I'm like, I'm going to try the Apex just to see what they do. Like, they're kind of game improvement and they have some offset, but like, let me see if I can jerry rig these things and make them like kind of a cool set. And, I'm telling you what, I'm having a blast with these things. So I bent all the offset out of them. I think they're now, cause I just rebent them again. I think they're all like 2 to 2.5 degrees weak than standard. So my 7 iron in that set, I think it's like 33, and I think it's, or 32.5. And I think standard's like 30.5. So it's still pretty, it's still like a half degree strong from normal standards, I guess. But, I kind of built them like a normal set. Like, I put heavy, you know, X100 shafts in them, and I play a, cause they don't, the heads launch really high, but don't spin that much. So now I bent, you know, I guess I added even more launch, but now they have a really tip stiff shaft. So this is my recipe. They have a really, really stiff shaft. The heads launch with no spin, but then I just play a spinny golf ball. And that combination of all those things together, now I have like this unicorn set of irons that I don't know if I'll ever, like, I don't know what to do. Like, I can't, like, I want the cool blades and I can get my hands on them, whatever I wanted to, like even the Miura Callaway blades, I could probably, you know, put a set of those together, but I have no interest. Like, I'm so much fun with these Apex.
Yeah. And you said it, cause like, you know, RB's build clubs for you, I've built clubs for you. nine times out of 10, it's a set of some type of blade. And now that, in fact, you have the ability to play around with a bunch of clubs, you're using Apexes.
I'm using Apexes, but the great thing is, though, like, I've had so many, I even had a tour guy, I'm not going to name who it was, but like, we were at ECPC and I grabbed my irons and he looked at him. He's like, oh my God, is this what these look like with no offset? I'm like, yeah. He's like, Jesus Christ. I think like, I'm going to have to get a set of these. Like, they're kind of like catching everybody's eyes. Like even the guys in the tour truck are like, what do those look like with no offset? And I'll show them. And they're like, these are kind of awesome. Like these are kind of amazing. And I like the fact that I'm playing four through pitching wedge. Like I'm playing the same, there's no combo set. I don't have some weird, I love a combo set, but I don't have like a utility in the four iron or even hybrid in the four. It's like, I hit them all great. Like, and I hit them all, you know, the only question mark right now would be like the 8, 9 and wedge. Cause I can't really hit them down like I could with the blades, but to be honest, I'm playing so well. I don't care.
Like, I don't. What ball are you using right now?
I'm using the Chrome. It's a star. It's the Chrome Star Soft X. So it's a real spinny golf ball. It's like, I would say it's spinnier than the Tiger ball. But I don't spin it. So I need all the spin I can get. So what I notice is that playing that golf ball, kind of like what, you know, what Rom experienced when he went to Chrome Soft X, it kind of just put the whole bag together. Now, all of a sudden my gapping was really good. My spin numbers were good. Driver all of a sudden starting to fly like it could. I could keep the ball in the air. Everything kind of came together when I started playing this ball. This Star ball and the Chrome Star, Chrome Soft X, those two either or work pretty well, but I kind of preferred the spinnier one.
Love it. Well, Carson, yeah. I was going to ask you, I was going to text you actually a couple weeks ago, but obviously all three of us are gear junkies and we all like to tinker and, you know, Johnny, maybe you don't build as many clubs or you just get us to build them, or now you have someone at Callaway to build them, but has there anything, you know, for what you've been on tour now, you know, call it half the PGA Tour season, or well, as long as it's been on, have you picked up any little things that you've seen on the truck that you go, that's interesting, they do it different than, you know, how RB and I would do it? Is there any kind of like little, have you taken a deeper dive into the whole build side of clubs for a tour player?
No, I mean, I knew the process pretty well. If I had a gun to my head, I could build a club. The only thing I really suck at is putting the tape on a grip.
Yeah.
Like putting the tape, that's the only thing I suck at. Everything else I can do. But no, I mean, the way that you do it and the way that Brath does it is correct, meaning like it's what the guys in the trucks do. Now, they probably pay because they can because of the equipment that they have. If you're working in a variance of 5%, they're working in a variance, you know, plus or minus like 3%, meaning as far as the exact weight and the exact loft and the exact everything else, like they just have a couple more tools to make it that much more. But a lot of it's super old school. Like when they're going to bend a wood, like a bonded hosel, they crack a lot of those things. I mean, it's not like they just get in there and go like when Trotty's on his Instagram and he'll have Wade do it. He makes it look like they just pop them in and do that. I'm like, there's a lot of heads out there that snap.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd be surprised. I mean, they get one in, they're like, I hope it doesn't break. And then they either rank it, you know, they either wrench it flat or it snaps. So there's a lot of old school stuff that takes place. I think the other difference is you guys are building your clubs based on a full fitting. So this is where it gets interesting. There's no real fitting on tour, meaning like, unless they go to ECPC and test, which is, you know, basically a fitting, you know, it's like, we're going to try this head, look at the numbers. Usually when our reps go out on the range, they'll go out with a TrackMan and they'll try some different things, but it's not as exotic. It's not like there's, you know, it's not like Kellen's on the range with Xander just going, here, hit this one, try this shaft, try this, try that. They have a pretty good idea of what the guy wants. And they'll build it up and it's either going to work or it's not. And if it doesn't work, the guy takes it home or takes on the course. If it's a little this, a little that, then they'll either bend it, tweak it, whatever. But it's not as, it's not like you're going, okay, we fit this guy to the nth degree. This is what he needs. There's a little more guesswork on tour than there is like at a TXG. And that's by design because most of the players, these guys have sort of been, it's a long exhausted fitting as opposed to a concentrated one. that's how I kind of look at it.
It really is almost like, to kind of to your point there, they've already been dialed in.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, okay, you know, we've got something new here, or we've got a different ball, or we're at a different course. And there's like this one thing we want to tweak today. Let's try that. Is that, it's more like that. Like, cause they're obviously like, they're all dialed.
Well, it depends if a guy's struggling. So there's a couple of different ways. Either the player's like, hey, I want to try three woods, or I want to try irons. The first thing our guys will do is look at the data. Like if Taylor Gooch comes into the truck and goes, God, I really want a set of TCBs. Our guys will go to the stats and go, well, you're ninth in, you know, strokes gain approach to the green. So no. Like, let's hold off until the off season, and then we'll build you a set of TCBs, or we'll build you a set of TCBs and send them home and you can try them. But we're not doing that here.
That's smart.
They're pretty aware of that stuff. Obviously there's certain players who are like, no, I want my TCBs. I want a new set of irons. There's that. But our guys pay attention to a lot of data. So there's a flip side to that. If a guy's really playing poorly, and if our guys see that they're, you know, losing strokes off the tee, losing strokes in the wedges, that's when they approach and be like, okay, guy, we're looking at your data here. Like, what's going on with the driver, or what's going on with the ball? Could it be the ball? Like, you know, it could be anything. And there is a delicate balance that you kind of have to walk, but our guys are pretty intuitive. So they'll track a player 2 or 3 weeks out. If they see a trend, typically you try to stop it or address it before it gets out of control. But I got to say, our staff's pretty good at saying, like, you know, most of our players are good at just going, dude, I'm driving it like crap. Like, I need help. And then, you know, it's that, at that point, it's all hands on deck.
Who's the most, besides Phil, like the biggest gear junkie that you've spent some time with?
Well, Phil is amazing. I got a really cool Phil story. I'll tell you in a second, but, not Rom. Akshay Bhatia. Akshay Bhatia is like, because he's 19, right? So he's kind of a kid in the candy store. So he comes.
He's literally a kid.
he's literally a kid. He's a really good kid. But he's interesting because, so I'll tell you the story because it kind of leads into what I was going to say. So over the past 6 to 9 months, Akshay typically gets all the new left-handed stuff before Phil does, just because when Phil plays. Phil does most of his testing at home with Garrett. You know, he's not really around the truck, or he's not really around in a place where like a prototype head would pass his way. Like, most of the stuff's like on a need to see basis, right? Like, I need a new three. What are my options? Like, he'd literally have to ask that question before Garrett would be like, this is the new stuff. So we're on number 16 at Torrey, and Phil and Akshay are playing together, and we have a new utility wood that no one's seen yet, but it's this cool little utility wood. And that's what we're calling it. Like, I can't even explain what it is. It's just like this prototype thing. So Akshay gets up there, drops the ball on the ground, takes a rip at it, hits it. And something feels like, what is that thing? Kind of like, what do you got? And he takes it and looks at it, and he's like, can I hit one? So he throws it on the ground. He hits it, goes straight up in the air with a ton of spin, lands like a butterfly with sore feet. And feels like, what? Like, I want one of these. So he's kind of looking around, and then he goes, Jesus Christ, what else you got in here? And he starts peeling Akshay's head covers off. And then he sees the ROM, because Akshay, I'll even back up. So the day, 2 days before, we're at ECPC, and Akshay Bhatia's got Jacob Davidson there, like all of our tour guys there, and they're testing three woods. And Akshay goes, do you know what one I really want to try is that that other three wood. Jacob's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, the one that Johnny's got on his Instagram. And Jacob turns to me, he's like, what is it? And I'm like, it's the T-head. So they built him up like a ROM three wood, right? So back to the Mickelson Akshay thing, they're on the 16th tee, and he's peeling all of Akshay's head covers off. And then he sees this three wood, and he looks at it, he's like, what is this? And he puts it down, and he kind of looks at Akshay. He's like, how are you getting all this stuff? So then literally, I want to say Tim or somebody texted the truck, because by the time I got back to the truck, that Mickelson 3T was built.
Love
like
it.
it was built. It was, and we're talking about 25, 30 minutes time. So some underling got a text message from somebody that contacted the guys on our truck, and they had that thing built up like that. The utility wood. It was all, and I didn't even think we had utility woods in the truck. I'm pretty confident somebody took one from HQ and drove it over the truck.
So does that utility wood, is that like potentially be released or just testing right now?
It's just something that they're testing. I don't even know what you call it. It's not, I couldn't even describe it to you if I wanted to, but like at some point you might see it, but it's cool. I'll give it that. I just don't know what to call it. I don't even know how to explain it. It's cool.
I was going to say, you mentioned Akshay, and it kind of had me thinking like him and Phil are two lefties. Mm-hmm. Like if there's two guys that are going to go nuts on gear together,
those two,
those gotta be the guys, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They nerd out pretty hard. The other, we have kind of a combination of the two though. We have some guys that really don't care about gear. Like Dylan Fratelli cares about gear. Like, I don't call him a gearhead. Tom Lewis is a gearhead for sure. Taylor Gooch is a gearhead. Like he gets into it. Then you get guys like Kistner. Couldn't care less, like couldn't care less at all. I'm trying to think who else.
What's Burns like?
Awesome, by the way. He's one of my favorite guys. One of my favorite guys out there. And he is Dustin Johnson 2.0, by the way. Like that whole Sam Burns thing is real. Like that's a 3 or 4 time Ryder Cupper. Definitely going to win a major. 10, 15 tournaments he'll win. Like. And everybody out there knows it. Like that is a real thing. The Sam Burns thing. It's real. And just wait till he kind of learns how good he is. Kind of like Rom, like when he understands exactly how good he is, Sam Burns is going to be top 10, top 5 player in the world for a long time. Like he's freaky good.
I was going to say, I don't think Hadwin's much of a tinker on tour. A
little bit. He doesn't mess with shafts. Like he's not that kind of, he's not like Charlie Howell that will, you know, I could send him a picture of a new shaft and he wants to try it like the next, you know, next day. But Hadwin likes to come in and check out to see what's going on. But he's also one of those players that doesn't like to switch if he's working on his golf swing. Him and his coach, Mark Blackburn, are really working hard. Like his golf swing looks really good right now. He's hitting it really well. So he doesn't mess around that much. But I see Hattie all the time. Like he's actually one of the players out there that I'm pretty friendly with. Like he's a good dude. I actually want him to win. I'd really love to see him win a few times.
I know. I remember there was a Hadwin story from someone years and years ago. Someone pulled a club out of his bag and like the grips were just like half shot. He's
yeah.
Like, why won't you change? He's like, they feel good. I don't care. I'm hitting it good. I don't want to change anything. So I think some players get into that routine, or even someone I know you're quite familiar with, Freddie Couples. Uh-huh. Always a guy that doesn't change, like gets the sandpaper out and does the grips, and that's kind of the end of it. It's like, yeah, it's fine. It's good. We'll keep going here.
Yeah, he's going to be Freddie's going to need something. I don't know. He's not like he finished what, second a couple weeks ago? But I just don't know how long that whole Freddie thing is going to last. He doesn't look like he's having much fun to me.
No.
He looks kind of bored. I think he needs to hang it up. And it breaks my heart to say it, but he doesn't look like he's having any fun.
You need some Callaway gear in the bag.
I do know who I want so bad. Can I say this out loud?
You can say whatever you want, Johnny.
I want Charlie Howell on the Callaway staff so bad just for the content.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine Charlie Howell and myself out on the road just doing YouTube videos and like, like if you've ever heard some of the conversations I've had with that on the phone or just stand on the range talking about gear. Like the conversations just go so far down the rabbit hole about like, you know, best stiff tip iron shafts of all time. I'm sitting there going, ah, it's awful.
So good.
It's awful. Yeah. Anyway, it's always an honor to do anything with either one of you. And I'm sure you're all relieved you don't have to build my clubs anymore.